In your face. Distant Locust there. I Feel Love. You are in your face here on Smith Street with James, and I'm rapt to have Strange Chaos performer and creator Mitch Jones back in the studio. Welcome to 3CR. Welcome back.
Hi, James. Thanks for having me back.
This is a punk rock clown show in the alleyways of inner city Melbourne. Tell us more.
Yes, that's right. It's an immersive site-specific experience. It's a fusion of punk culture, of finding found space or taking found space and improvising performance in it. And it's a fusion of that with clowning and my kind of my legacy training of being a clown in various shows over the years.
Wow. And it's happening in the alleyways at mystery locations, but you meet at Northcote Plaza in Northcote.
That's right.
So it's got a great kind of, you know, inner city vibe to it. Tell us a little bit about how immersive it is.
Yeah, I guess I could talk about the practicalities of it first, because really, as people know who are working in the arts or who are lovers of the arts, it's a really tricky time right now in Melbourne. There's a lot of venues closing down. The Butterfly Club just closed a couple of months ago. That was a really sad loss for anyone who's walked through those doors in the last sort of 15 years. La Mama is having a dark year of its programming. It's getting harder than ever to attract the interest of main stage programmers or festivals to get people interested in the independent art scene here. So I just decided that I was sick of asking for permission and sick of like effing around with programmers trying to justify my value. And I decided to just make a venue myself and make a show that was going to fit anywhere I could find to put it on. So I started doing this a couple of years ago. I used a car park behind a punk bar in Adelaide for Adelaide Fringe in 2023. And that was pretty funny. We actually got told that someone had like hired the car park for us, and then it turned out that they hadn't, and the car park wasn't actually owned by the bar. It was owned by this mobster who came down with his security guards and tried to evict us in the middle of a show. So that was pretty radical. And then earlier this year, we decided to remount the show, and we did it in someone's backyard in again in Adelaide Fringe. So we took over a suburban backyard, and I basically just rented the back half of my friend's share house. And during that iteration of the show, we found that it was really fun to meet people somewhere else, because obviously you don't want to publicize an address that you might not have all of the legal paperwork for. So we would meet people around the corner in the park, like on the median strip between a busy roundabout, and then we would walk them around to the backyard as part of like a moving dance party. So for Melbourne Fringe this year, I have secured a carport behind a shop that my friend of mine runs. I won't say where, but it's a very amazing business that I hope people will check out after they've seen the show. And a good local location that everyone knows in that area is Northcote Plaza. And I love Northcote Plaza. It's so filled with like colorful characters and eccentric people and just weird shit all the time. So it should be completely fine for a clown to have a little dance party on the corner of Northcote Plaza and then lead people out of there down the alleyways and into this car park that's hidden.
Melbourne Fringe must love this because it's so spontaneous, but so grassroots, and it's so edgy. Like, there's no way you could say your show has been commercialized in any respect.
Yeah, I think Melbourne Fringe are the bravest and most supportive presenters of independent theatre in this state and possibly in this whole country.
So does the spontaneity scare you, or I guess because you were in circus for so long and you've done so much clowning that you kind of relish it, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's totally the skill set of a clown, is that they can respond to anything, or they should be in that place of electricity where everything that happens is an opportunity to make something funny or to make it poignant or to even just like bring it into the world of the show. Like, everything is an opportunity for a clown. So
tell us about the punk rock elements of Strange Chaos.
There's kind of a couple. There's the aspect of using found space that I just described, but really this show in a narrative sense is about my personal story of being a very self-destructive, rebellious, tempestuous, angry young punk. And so it uses the music that I loved listening to. It's got a lot of stuff like Slayer. It's got some strange mashups of Metallica with the B-52s. It's got Turbo Negro, if anyone knows that band.
Oh, I do, from Norway.
Yeah, from Norway. It's got the Sex Pistols. It's got a whole scene about struggling to put on a leather jacket that's too small for you. So it's kind of like, it's about making clowning out of recognizably punk things. One of my favorite scenes in the show is a mime sequence where I'm in a mosh pit. So it's like, if you can imagine like a piece of contemporary dance that's like a mosh pit for one person, but it's me embodying what it feels like to be in the mosh pit and getting knocked over and getting picked up again. And it's a very strange fusion of these kind of forms, right? It's about looking at what it means to be a punk, but through the eyes of a clown.
And no kind of safety nets, no filters.
No, and people like are right up close to you, you know, they're sitting on mismatched chairs and cushions in someone's backyard. To me, that's really what punk is all about, right? It's about the intimacy, it's about the rawness, it's about the reality. There's no pretension, that's for sure. It's like you can see the sweat, you can see the blood, although hopefully there's none of that.
Northcote's such a great location for punk, you know, because it does have that kind of punk energy to it. You know, it used to be one of the cheapest areas in Melbourne to live. I remember in the early 90s, like 1991, if you wanted to rent a house in Melbourne, believe it or not, Northcote was one of the cheapest suburbs, you
wow.
know. Now look at it.
Yeah, it's so funny because I think Melbourne, as you would know, has such a punk heritage in so many different places, but it feels really punk is not valued culturally by gentrifiers or by the arts and culture sector, really. It's seen as something that is outside the norm in a way. You know, I watched a documentary recently about Parkaway Drive, you know, that band. They're like one of the biggest metal acts in the world, right? They're from Byron Bay, and they say metal is outside of the mainstream because it doesn't need to ask for permission, because it has such a huge fan base that it just happens on its own regard, right? And I think punk is a bit like that as well. There's not always a lot of crossover between like our cultural narratives and punk.
The times suit punk, though. The times suit a resurgence of punk. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. Let's bring it back. I mean, that's kind of what I care about, right? Is about when I started making performance art 20 years ago, there was none of this like risk management strategy, blah, blah, freaking apply for permission and look for funding. It was like, let's just get a group of people together and do something. And I really want to take at least my cultural activity back to that kind of framework of obviously looking after people. And like, you know, as we talked about last year with my last work, Apocrypha, I really prioritize care and empathy in everything that I do as Oozing Future. But yeah, bringing stuff back to what we can do ourselves for each other, I think is really important, particularly in a cost of living crisis, particularly in a time when like there's so much, you know, the social conversation is so fraught with Nazis on the street and violence and climate change and all this poly crisis. It's like we need each other. We need punk more than ever right now. We need that kind of like immediate support of communities who care about each other.
It is kind of refreshing that punk hasn't been, you know, misappropriated by the white picket fence crew, by gentrification. And it's kind of interesting that it hasn't, you know. It's kind of, you know, as you said, it's kind of remained outside of those parameters. And I wonder why that is.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. I always think of one of my favorite punk stories is the son of Vivian Westwood and Malcolm McLaren. When there was an invitation to him, his name's Joe, I forget his last name, but he owns the lingerie brand Agent Provocateur, right? So he's also quite independently wealthy. So there was a point at which they wanted to create a punk exhibition through the one of the main British museums, and they asked for all of this stuff that belonged to Vivian Westwood and Malcolm McLaren. And so what he did was he took it, all of these posters and records and patches and clothing and stuff, and he put it on a barge in the middle of the Thames and he burnt it as like a symbolic act of defiance to the institutionalization of punk. He was like, no, F you, you can't have this. Like, my parents were involved in it because it was ephemeral and because it couldn't be captured by the institution. So I'd rather burn it than see you put it in your frickin' museum.
Tell us about your co-performer in this production, Strange Chaos.
Ah, yeah. Well, she's a fascinating and really interesting young woman called Chloe Fizikas. She's a circus performer who hasn't gone through the training institutions. She didn't go to NICA. She came through a kind of youth circus group in Queensland, where she's from. And yeah, she's just a really remarkable young person who's got heaps of guts and is prepared to do crazy, weird shit like this.
Fantastic. So what's next for you after this? I mean, you're constantly creating stuff. What's next?
It's an interesting time to make new work in Melbourne. I think it's, I'm going to start doing more stuff that happens for free and continue to keep looking outside the structures of consumption, so that instead of being like, I make a show and you buy a ticket and come and sit down and watch it, I'm going to try and, as an artist, make spaces which everybody gets to collaborate in and we make it together. So one of the things I'm going to do is put on a Halloween party, actually, down in a storm drain at another secret location, and invite people to come and perform. And so it'll be completely without money. It'll be without tickets. It'll be without permission again. And it'll just be a sort of happening. So I feel like as capitalism crumbles and the New World Order rears its ugly head, like, we need punk culture that everyone participates in. So, yeah.
I just love that. We had a squatters show on 3CR for like decades. And I remember years and years and years ago, they convinced a commercial TV network that they were living in the tunnels and took them on a tour, and they totally bought it. You know, it was just great. And I kind of loved the punk ethos to that as well, you know. But yeah, oh, well, tell us more about that.
Yeah, well, it's kind of still in the works at the moment. It's a group of other circus performers who are interested in this idea of alt circus, which is kind of like a development on contemporary circus. It's like the idea of alternatives that exist outside the traditional formats of presentation. If people are interested, you can look up Oozing Future on social media, find out about us, like come and connect with us, send us a message, get involved. We just want to make stuff that happens for free. It's for everyone. We keep culture alive. We keep it outside of the institutions.
I'm really fascinated by Strange Chaos. I love the punk rock clowning element. What is the hardest part of it? Like, what's the hardest part of your performance for you?
Right at the end of the show, after I'm really tired and sweaty, I balance a raw egg on the end of a chopstick on the end of my nose. And with that balanced above me, I lie all the way down on the floor, controlling that balance so that the egg stays just right there on the end of the chopstick.
And you've obviously done it lots of times, right?
Yeah. It's a Chinese circus skill that I learned from my mentor, Derek Ives. It's a skill that's generally sort of learned through apprenticeship. It gets passed down to you by an older circus performer. And I've been performing it for a long time. Yeah.
Wow. Tell us about that kinship of circus performers, because that's what it sounds like. You know, it sounds like it's almost like oral history with things being passed down from one generation to the next.
Yeah.
Sounds like that's happening with circus.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of, well, the kind of structures of circus have always been familial, right? Because traditionally circus groups were based around families and the people that were brought into those families either by birth or by cultural or adoption. So it makes sense that like particular circus acts that you have to have specialized knowledge for, they can't be bought, they have to be given.
I love the gypsy history of circus as well, the travellers, you know, people travelling around from city to city, country to country, as part of those kinship networks, you know, and passing down the skills. And it sounds like you're really in touch with that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to move to make a living in this business. So that kind of itinerant nature is economic as well as cultural.
Fantastic. Well, Strange Chaos is happening October 9 to 19 for Melbourne Fringe. There's no shows on the Monday or the Tuesday, but it kicks off 7:30. That's where you meet, right? At a location near the Northcote Plaza. And once you buy your ticket, you're going to email folks the details, and it kicks off at 7:50. 7:50 p.m. So a bit of a twilight happening.
Yeah, I tried to design it so that the lighting changes during the show. It's, you know, like a environmental lighting effect.
Fantastic. Mitch Jones, great to see you at 3CR.
Thanks, James.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.